I don't suppose they'll police the sea border too keenly if there's a yes vote in the Scottish independence referendum. But how strange it could be to glide into the Clyde and find yourself reporting in as a foreigner, as if it was Brazil or a suspicious Baltic state. The ragged and wonderful northern coasts are, as this issue celebrates, one of the great cruising prizes within reasonable reach for British yachts, and nobody can really claim to belong in the great tradition until they've done a couple of seasons north of the border. This is the month to be there, before the uneasy gales of August and the midges become their most fierce. I am a quarter Scottish, my Lowland father having had an English mother, but I first encountered Scotland by sea on a trip to St Kilda. It is a pretty extreme way to start, roaring out towards Barra in a small gale on a grand old oyster smack, well before GPS and through the sound of Harris. Mercifully, I didn't understand the difficulty of what the skipper was doing there. But the spell, terror and beauty of those wild waters were a great part of what made me keep coming back to the sea, and probably always will. Next time, after some years of channel hopping and one Atlantic crossing, it was in our own Grace O'Malley that we crossed the border and the Clyde and felt that leaping of the heart as we emerged from the Crinan Canal and found ourselves free among the sacred Hebrides. We shrieked a little in the Corryvreckan whirlpool, paid our respects to the legendary Miss Irene of Ardnamur, who sat on her island for decades, keeping a record of the yachts and scornfully watching them go aground on the rock. We read tales of the coast in Frank Cooper's Victorian sailing tours, with his immortal observation that Scotch legends are, like Scotch weather, gruesome. We ricocheted between islands with fretful children in drizzle, but then would suddenly be sailing down the blue aisles of heaven itself when the mist lifted. We trembled with terror in the sound of sleet and cowered from katabatic winds on Loch Hourn. We bought Sunday papers from a shop on Skye so Sabbatarian that we were ordered by the newsagent to hide them under our jackets so as not to scandalise local churchgoers. Then we headed north round Cape Wrath for Orkney. Not till a few years later did we make it right up to Shetland. But on Orkney we learned the legend of the Mucklemester Stoorworm, the great dragon defeated by Assipattle, who swam down its throat and burned its liver till its teeth became the Shetlands, Orkneys and Faroes. Our little daughter won brownie points from the folk tellers by saying, "Then it did a big sick-up and that was England." We learned at the top of the land for the first time the great secret of yachting, which is that famous headlands and races you're terrified of, Cape Wrath, Pentland Firth, Portland, Mizzen, all turn out to be complete pussycats, simply because you're so nervous you wait for calm weather and correct tides to glide around them. So it is always headlands and tide races you've never heard of, like Noss Head or Bolas, which throw you round in soaking chaos. Finally, we came down the sandy eastern coast, shivered in dour harbours where everything smelt powerfully of dead fish, but the seaman's mission let us have showers. At last, near the border, we crept right up the inlet into St Andrews to dry out and stroll around its genteel streets admiring cultivated roses and carved doorways. Scotland was like it. I think next year we might head north again.